Hello, and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight Latino Voices. I'm Joanna Hernandez. Here's what we're looking at. The mayor's plan to fill a nearly billion-dollar budget hole gets a cold reception from older people. How President-elect Donald Trump won over Latino men in the re-election bid.
We lost this battle. The America of your dreams is calling for you to get back up.
And local Congresswoman Delia Ramirez on what another Trump term could mean for Illinois residents and where Democrats go from here. And now to some of today's top stories. Police say they have a person of interest in custody in connection with the killing of two men at Navy Pier. It comes just hours after police released these photos of a man they say is responsible for killing 51-year-old Lamont Johnson and 47-year-old Peter Jennings. According to the Chicago Police Department, the suspected shooter entered a loading dock at Navy Pier on Tuesday afternoon and opened fire on the workers. The man then allegedly fled the area using public transportation. And the man accused of killing a Chicago police officer on the city's south side was in court today. 23-year-old Darian McMillan is facing murder charges in the death of 26-year-old officer Enrique Martinez. Police say McMillan was in the front passenger seat of the car when Martinez and his partner approached the driver's window. They say McMillan then reached underneath his seat and used a fully automatic handgun, fatally shooting the officer and the driver of the vehicle. Police say McMillan is a convicted felon, has been released on electronic monitoring. And President Joe Biden delivers remarks at the White House this morning calling for unity and promising a peaceful transfer of power on January 20th. This was his first public appearance in Donald Trump's victory over Kamala Harris. Biden encouraged fellow Democrats not to lose hope, saying Tuesday's election demonstrated the integrity and fairness of the U.S. electoral system.
I've said many times, you can't love your country only when you win. You can't love your neighbor only when you agree. Something I hope we can do, no matter who you voted for, is see each other not as adversaries, but as fellow Americans. Bring down the temperature.
Also today, Governor J.B. Pritzker commented on Trump's re-election during a news conference. Pritzker assured that he would continue to advocate for the protection of women's reproductive health, immigration rights, disability care, and LGBTQ plus rights in the state.
Over the years ahead, we'll do more than just protect against the possible reversion to an agenda that threatens to take us backward. We will continue to advance a positive, productive, and inclusive agenda of our own, one that brings opportunity to Illinois.
Up next, city council members push back on the mayor's plan to fill the massive budget gap. That's right after this.
Chicago Tonight, Latino Voices, is made possible in part by the support of these donors.
Hearings on Mayor Brandon Johnson's budget proposal for next year are underway at City Hall. And the centerpiece of this spending plan to close a $982 million gap got a chilly reception from members of City Council. Our Heather Sharon joins us now to break down the start of these marathon sessions. Heather, we're talking about a lot of money here. So the mayor's finance team defended his decision to propose a $300 million property tax hike, the largest increase since 2016, as necessary and the only possible solution to the city's financial woes. That argument didn't go over very well. Why not?
Well, older people didn't seem convinced that there wasn't another way to make the city's financial ends meet, so to speak. And the easiest possible way would be potentially to cancel an additional $272 million payment that the mayor wants to make to the city's four pension funds, which are woefully underfunded. Now, Chief Financial Officer Jill Jaworski said that the city has to pay more than required by state law because otherwise the city's pension funds are going to have trouble paying retirees what they are entitled to after working for sometimes more than 30 years. So it's a really difficult decision. It's going to be a really difficult decision because no politician wants to raise taxes on the people who vote to send them to City Hall.
And what happens if City Council refuses to hike taxes?
Well, budgets are kind of simple, but a lot of money, right? You have three basic options. You can either cut, so that means services cutting or layoffs, or you can raise taxes, or you can borrow money. Now, the city already has a massive amount of debt, so borrowing to fill this gap does not seem like it's an option. But nobody wants to lay off city workers either. So the mayor and now the city council find themselves with few good options and a looming deadline racing up to us at the end of the year.
So even with the property tax hike, the Chicago Department of Public Health is facing a budget cut of 60%, according to the mayor's proposal. Why?
Well, the CDPH is going to lose 16% of its funding because COVID-19 era relief grants from the federal government are ending. The pandemic, at least as far as the federal government is concerned, is behind us. And now that money that the city got to sort of respond to the crisis is going away, which means the city's budget is going to have to shrink.
Well, thank you, Heather. I know you're going to stay on top of all these marathon sessions.
I sure will. Thanks, Joanna.
And you can read Heather's full story on our website. It's all at WTTW.com/news. And we're back with more right after this. Donald Trump is officially the country's president-elect, beating out Vice President Kamala Harris in Tuesday's election. His victory came after securing support from voters in key battleground states. That includes winning over a number of Latino men who had historically backed the Democratic Party. And here to share their reactions are Jose Sanchez Molina, a communications and political consultant who previously served as deputy press secretary for Governor J.B. Pritzker, and Chuck Hernandez, chairman of the Chicago Republican Party and former detective of the Chicago Police Department. Thank you both for joining us. I want to start off, Jose, you know, what was your initial reactions when Trump won the president-elect?
I was pretty surprised, but I think, you know, when I first came on, the thing I said that the biggest concern for Latinos was the cost of living and how quickly it was rising. Rent, groceries, and health care were at the top of the list, 1, 2, and 3 in that order. And I think what voters decided was that they choose President-elect Trump over Vice President Harris.
What about you, Chuck? You said you were at a watch party.
Yeah, we were optimistic, but cautiously optimistic. But as the night went on, we just were really celebratory, of course, you know.
And I do have to ask, as a retired CPD detective, what are your thoughts on America electing the first president convicted of multiple felony charges?
Yeah, I mean, those were political prosecutions. So we feel that that was completely motivated all by politics.
And Jose, according to an exit poll conducted by Edison Research across 10 key states, including all the battlegrounds, 55% of Latino men voted for Trump compared to 38% of Latinos. Why do you think he pulled better numbers with the demographic than he did back in his 2020 campaign?
Well, I think one thing that we have to acknowledge is that Vice President Harris only had about 3 months to really roll out her campaign. President-elect Trump has been at this for almost 10 years now, getting his message out. One of the things that I think he did a good job of saying is twisting the truth a little bit and trying to trigger nostalgia and saying, I used to have the greatest economy. I used to have the greatest economy. And at some point, people start to believe it. But again, I think especially with men, they're struggling. Their pockets are hurting. And they really want someone that's going to make their lives better in that way.
Chuck, you were shaking your heads.
Yeah,
do you have some thoughts?
Yeah, he's absolutely wrong. The Latino men, we're smart, right? We know what we're voting for. And Donald Trump projects a strong leader. And that's what this country needs, strong leadership. We have wars going on around the world. We had a terrible economy. We had a border where we have an invasion going on. So we needed a strong leader. And you know what? We're American first, and we support Donald Trump.
And Jose, going back to last time we spoke, you said you've talked about messages about making home purchases more affordable, helping entrepreneurs start small businesses were resonating with Latino workers. But the numbers show Harris only won 52% of the Latino vote, well below the 64% Democrats have needed in the past. Again, where do you think she failed to reach them?
I think the thing that she could have improved a little bit on is really separating herself from President Biden. I think this election was really a referendum on the decisions that he's made. Time and time again, the president said that the economy was really good, that things were getting better, but that's not what people felt when they would buy milk or when they were looking to purchase a vehicle or a home. And I think some of the policy proposals that Vice President Harris had would have addressed that, but at the same time didn't do a good job of completely separating herself from him.
And Chuck, Trump's tax policies have a large focus on catering to corporations and the wealthy. He has promised to lower corporate tax income tax to 15% from 21%. With your concerns about America's economy, how will a plan like this help lower middle class families?
This is going to really improve our economy because, you know, if you look back, he was already in office once. He has a track record. We know the years 2017, 18, 19, every demographic was increasing wage growth. I mean, we were really, our economy was really rolling good in this country. So we expect the same. We expect really good economic growth and job increases here in America under Donald Trump.
And Trump has talked about multiple times that he plans to carry one of the largest deportation operations in American history. Chuck, seeing as America relies on a low-cost workforce and immigrant workers, how will this help the U.S. maintain a sustainable economy?
Yeah, well,
if he does do that.
Yeah, I mean, we're for immigrants, right? We love immigrants. We want immigrants, but we want them to come here the right way. We need an organized immigration system, something that works. And right now we have a broken immigration system and we have an invasion that took place and it's unsustainable. So we do need to deport people, that they have to come here and abide by our laws. Every nation has laws on the books and you have to follow them. That's
but
just
what about
the
people who've been here for more than 30 years, who live here?
For more than 30 years?
Who've been living here in Illinois for more than 30 years.
Yeah.
This is where they call home.
Well, I'm not sure. But the beginning with the deportations is going to start with the illegal immigrant that is a criminal. We have plenty of them here that are criminals. I worked in law enforcement for 28 years, and we have plenty that are not obeying our laws. And guess what? They
have to be. So you're saying targeted?
Yes.
What about you? What is your response to that, Jose?
I think our police do a good job of arresting criminals. So if there's any immigrants that are, you know, committing crimes, they're arrested, jailed, and then deported. I think the way that you improve people's lives is not by conducting raids that separate families and not setting a precedent where you begin to trigger things that were happening 10, 15, 20 years ago, where police were deporting people for running over stop signs.
So do you think that's going to cause different type of chaos?
I think it'll cause chaos. I think it'll destabilize the economy. And I think it's not a good way to bring people up.
So Chuck, you're saying that it's about going after criminals. But
yes.
What about the families who are scared to face deportation or families being separated?
Yeah, you don't have to separate families. Whole families should self-deport. If you're here illegally, that family should self-deport. Why put your family through that? Go back to your country of origin. Apply the right way. Come here the right way. We have laws.
And Jose, why do you think, again, there's a shift among the group of Latinos adapting to this idea of moving into this more anti-immigration rhetoric?
I think when people are really hurting at home, and I think this is the biggest thing that was surprising for me, is that even Latino men who, you know, have family members that are undocumented, maybe they rationalize saying, well, they're not talking about my family. But at the end of the day, when I'm trying to buy a car, it's a lot more expensive. And I think really the reality is a lot of people are feeling like the American dream is really not within their reach anymore. And out of anger, maybe they responded that way and wanna vote for President Trump. Because he has tapped into that anger, he has been able to say, I'm your retribution. I'm going to make things great for you again. And they're willing to risk that.
And Chuck, it's no secret that Trump's campaign has used hateful rhetoric. He's had supporters come to his rallies and refer to Puerto Rico as garbage. He himself has called immigrants animals, called Vice President Harris a DEI hire, and made baseless claims about Haitians in Ohio. Now that he's won, how should he promote unity?
Yeah.
How would that look like?
I don't agree with a lot of what you said there. I think it's false. And see, here's the problem. The media has not learned a lesson in this. The media has been wrong for years. And they were wrong on polling. And that's why the American people are very upset.
But isn't that what he said, though, right?
No, he did not say those things. And that wasn't him. That was a comedian at an event. So it did not come from Donald Trump. So you need to be honest with the American people. And that's what we're seeing right now. The American people rejected the media trying to push for Harris. And the media is the biggest loser in this whole thing because they lost credibility in this race.
And how should he continue to promote unity? How would you say that would look like?
He is a mandate He won all seven swing states. He won the popular vote. He won the Electoral College. We won back the Senate. We have a mandate. We're going to do the things that he promised to do, and we're going to bring back prosperity to America and make America great again.
What is your reaction to that?
I think Republicans have to deliver to make people's lives better. I think what we learned was that Latinos are not Democrat, they're not Republican, they're very independent. Across a lot of races where people voted for President Trump, they also did not vote for Republicans down the ticket ballot. So what that says to me is they're very much in the middle. They want elected officials to deliver on what they want. And at the end of the day, it's just making the American dream more accessible. So, you know, I want the Republicans to step up to the challenge, but I'm skeptical.
Well, thank you both for your input.
Thank you.
Up next, a local member of Congress and what Trump's victory could mean for Capitol Hill and the state. Illinois was an island of blue in a sea of red, and the red wave won. One of Donald Trump's key issues on the campaign trail was immigration and his promises to conduct the largest mass deportation once in office. Over 400,000 undocumented residents live in Illinois. So what does this all mean for them and other non-citizens? Joining us via Zoom is Democratic Congresswoman Delia Ramirez. First of all, congratulations on winning re-election.
Thank you, Joanna.
And I want to start off. Donald Trump is officially the next president-elect after beating out the Harris-Walz ticket. What part of Trump's messaging do you think was appealing to voters?
Yeah, I've been trying to process that for a while. I mean, I think that what we have found is that voters are looking for someone who is not the establishment. And although Donald Trump wasn't the president for 4 years, unlike what you heard from the Republican person on the call on just a few minutes ago, our economy was actually not in a good place. We were struggling, and we had an unemployment rate that was significantly higher than what it is today. You heard a lot of the alternative truths that we see so much here. But what people kept hearing was over and over and over, when I'm there, I'm going to make it great. And I think that what we saw is that people are, in fact, struggling right now. The number one issue, regardless of race, is the economy. And while Democrats have passed incredibly important legislation that over the next few months, actually, funny enough, you will see the impact of a lot of these jobs, that people want jobs right now. People are struggling right now. And frankly, Kamala Harris had 3.5 months to really introduce herself, while Donald Trump has been at it saying the same things over and over for a long time.
And Ramirez, why do you think, you know, that there was that shift among Latinos?
Yeah. Look, I think that Latinos are not a monolith. You heard someone just say that a few moments ago. And they're also exhausted. They are frustrated that they can't purchase a home, that they work two jobs. They are really upset that they can't afford health care. And you have seniors who are living off of Social Security and barely making it. People see the current government, and oftentimes they think we just need change, right? And maybe Donald Trump will bring change, because in this moment, I am really struggling. And I think that it's really important for us to understand that we as Democrats, but I think as elected officials, have to be relatable. Have to first do a lot of listening, and people are hurting. People in this moment are asking themselves, how do I take care of my family? How do I afford health care? And how do I also make sure that my kids have it better than I did when I came to this country? And look, of course, we have an issue with immigration. We also didn't really demonstrate a compelling policy solution to address it. My uncle's been here for 35 years, still undocumented.
And I want to talk about immigration a little bit. Let's talk about another Trump presidency will mean for Dreamers. As you know, the former president already attempted to kill the DACA program, but that didn't hold up legally. Do you think he'll try to repeal it again, and maybe be successful this time? You know, what would that mean? I know many people are concerned about that.
I think many people are concerned. Of course, we're concerned that now Donald Trump is going to have all their information, right? My husband was a Dreamer up until a few weeks ago when his status adjusted as a result of, you know, marriage adjustment. But that fear is very real for people. And the reality is that Donald Trump has shown us who he is when he is in office. He has shown us what it is to have control over certain courts, as he has had. And we are extremely concerned. It is why I think that in this precise moment, while Joe Biden is still president and while we still have the Senate, we have a responsibility to do everything we can in our power to extend the most protections we can against Donald Trump and his promises to harm our communities. And Dreamers are right there. And here's the interesting thing. We talk a lot about the economy. Number one issue, $96.7 billion a year are generated in taxes from undocumented people. That's not even counting the Dreamers who also generate billions of dollars. I mean, think about the impact it has on our taxes when 35% of that revenue generated is going to Social Security and another portion of that is going to Medicare. The reality is that this craziness, this evilness of Donald Trump and mass deportations is going to slap him in the face when he realizes the economic impact this will have on our entire economy and on those very many seniors who right now are depending on Social Security.
And Congresswoman, what do you tell to the people who are DACA recipients and are worried? What's your message to them?
I'm going to tell them that as long as I can breathe, and so many of us here in the state of Illinois, we will do everything in our power to protect them. That I am going back to D.C. next week, and I'm going to be working with my colleagues to ensure that we put pressure into our administration to issue every single potential protection for our Dreamers, to ensure that these case logs that are so delayed, where people are just weeks and months waiting for an appointment to be able to get an adjustment, that we speed up that process so that people that are eligible for adjustment can get it done, because people are living in fear. And I am confident that between our governor, our mayor, and our state general assembly, we will do everything we can to protect people here in Illinois. But we have a tough, tough battle ahead, and I am ready to roll up my sleeves, and I'm ready to fight like hell to protect our communities.
And Chicago is a sanctuary city. Can the city protect the undocumented community from the threat of mass deportations?
Look, a couple of years ago, the state legislature passed a bill that prevented ICE and local police from working together for the purpose of deportations. Obviously, if there's a criminal case, that is a very different situation, right, in terms of, you know, the challenges and certainly what ends up happening has already been happening. But Illinois has certain provisions of protections for families that we will continue to use. Of course, it'll be very difficult under a Trump presidency, but I can tell you loud and clear that between Governor Pritzker, the mayor, and the General Assembly, we will do everything to protect our families. This whole idea of self-deport, how do you deport a child that has been here since the age of 2 and now he's 22? And we are going to protect them. We're going to do everything we can, even if that means literal protests with organizations and protecting people right in their home.
And Congresswoman, you were born here in Chicago to Guatemalan immigrants. Trump has threatened to end birthright citizenship. Why do you think he's adamant about narrowing people's path to citizenship?
I think it's hypocritical when his wife was also an immigrant, is an immigrant, right? And so his son, consequently, is the son of a Russian immigrant. So it's just really, really cynical. But here's the thing. He's going to do everything he possibly can to ensure that this country becomes a Christian nationalist country. And the fear of people that look like me, that sound like me, for him is far greater than the love for this country. And so we have to do everything we can. And hopefully the House has not been lost just yet. We still have 27 races that have not been called. We are still crossing fingers that we can get the majority in the House. But if we don't, that we do everything in our power, particularly with local legislatures, to ensure that we are protecting as much as we can. And this idea that someone who was born in this country doesn't have the right to be a U.S. citizen could not be more un-American and more hypocritical from Donald Trump.
Well, thank you, Congresswoman Ramirez, for joining us.
No, thank you for having me.
Now, that's our show for this Thursday night. And before we leave you, we have a note of congratulations and good wishes for Mike Tom Perry. He is retiring from WTTW after 52 years with the company. Mike started here in 1973, working part-time after high school, packing boxes of Pledge premiums. It was a family affair for Mike. His mother, Helen, worked here from 1967 to 1989. Mike went on to the WTTW mailroom while attending college and then worked as an engineer and technician, ultimately reaching the position of Senior Director of Broadcast and Technology. We know Mike as smart, hardworking colleague and a kind and generous friend. He's always has a warm smile. Mike, we wish you and Renee and your children and your granddaughter many years of happiness, and we miss you already. Now, from all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Joanna Hernandez. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy. Good night. Buenas noches.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that is proud to recognize its 20 attorneys recognized in the 2025 edition of the Best Lawyers in America.